Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
With the golden voice, Ted Williams, Scott Spears back with you here on a Thursday morning. Thursday, February the 1st, 2024, first day of the month of February. 14 minutes past the hour, 34 degrees and sunny skies, and we can only hope that tomorrow is like today for Groundhog Day. Now, I don't know what happened to my theme song. I've had to play it manually this morning. I don't know what's happened. We're going to have to look into that. Never have had that problem before, but here we are chucking along this morning on the program. Don't forget the big Groundhog Celebration tomorrow. It'll kick off at 8:15 a.m. here at WGH Talk. You know, there's so much to talk about. We've got a county official doing a proclamation. We've got the peanut butter jelly truck bringing the groundhog. We're going to unmask the groundhog. We've got snacks to give away to people who are there. We've got the groundhog pizza. We have got tickets to Chad Clark's show to give away to people. We've got plaques. We've got Mary Ellen Withrow. We've got guesses for the groundhog. We've got Chad Clark performing music. I mean, it's really a whole hullabaloo tomorrow, and everybody pretty much at the station here involved. So it kicks off at 8:15 tomorrow, and at 8:45 we'll unveil who the groundhog is. Now again, if you would like to place a guess, give us a call, 740-751-4038. Now the new hint this morning is the groundhog has been on national television. I can say that. Has been on national television. The person who is under the groundhog head tomorrow. So who might it be? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Give us a buzz if you have a thought on this whole thing. All right. Go ahead, caller.
Is it Geraldo?
Well, you know, he does live in Ohio, apparently. Geraldo's a good guess. Now, are you going to be able to make it down tomorrow to see this?
No, I won't be able to.
You know, I think it's going to be fascinating because I think when this head comes off, people will be very surprised at who's under there.
Okay. So when we're calling in, like, now, making these guesses, you're not going to tell us if we're right or wrong, then?
No. I don't want to give it away.
Okay. So one of us might have already got the right one then?
Maybe. Maybe. There is a possibility.
Okay. But it is someone that would be easily recognizable. And you say that they have been on TV?
They've been on national television. And, yes, when I say who it is tomorrow, you will get who that is. I mean, it's not somebody who's obscure.
Okay, I guessed Bozo, now I'm guessing Geraldo. And also Phil Donahue.
Phil Donahue. Now, do you understand why everybody has a... I did not realize till I looked at this Today Show thing this morning. Did you see this on the Today Show?
No, I didn't.
Yeah, apparently there's four different groundhogs, and that's just what they showed on the Today Show. I didn't know every area had its own groundhog.
No, wasn't really aware of that either, because I know back when Charlie came up with Buckeye Chuck, I mean, that was a big deal, and at that time I thought the only one there was Punxsutawney.
Well, see, and that's what I wonder. I wonder if it's a big deal to us because we're in Ohio and that's our groundhog. I wonder if the people in Illinois and Nebraska and New York, I wonder if they have a whole different perspective on this whole thing.
Could be. Everybody, to each his own.
Yeah, whatever goes on, whatever you like.
Okay,
thanks. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, you know what? Even if we have a different perspective on it, it's important that we have ours, and it's important that at least it was one of the ones mentioned on the Today Show, or on the screen this morning with Al Roker, one of the four. So that's a good thing. Okay, let's see. What else do we have going on? Well, I'll tell you. One more hint, because today's the last day. I'm trying to think of one more hint that would put it a little closer to who the groundhog is tomorrow without giving it away. Now, remember, we're only going to be outside for the first hour, 8:15 to 9 o'clock, and then the rest of the day we'll be inside so you can hear the interview better with the person who is in the groundhog suit. But I also, there could be a surprise tomorrow. Now, I can't say for sure if there's going to be a surprise at this point, but it looks like there might be a surprise tomorrow as well. So if there is a surprise, good. If there's not, you know, we didn't lose anything. But it looks as if there might be a surprise. What's fascinating to me in the end about the groundhog thing in general is when you ask younger people, now go ask a young person about groundhogs and Groundhog Day and that whole thing, they really have no idea. And I wonder, is this becoming a bygone thing? In 30 years, are people going to be going to Groundhog Day celebrations? I don't know. Will the movie keep it alive? I really don't know. I find that fascinating that young people, anybody under the age of 30, doesn't really seem to have any kind of grasp on Groundhog Day. Don't understand what it means, don't understand what's going on, and certainly don't attend the ceremonies. So I don't know. I know there's a ton of them here in Ohio. To each their own. I guess whichever one you're closest to is maybe the one you go to. And I've always felt that ours is more for entertainment value. Well, we're really not into the weather business here. We're more into the who's in the groundhog suit. It's more of a mystery, really, than anything else. So I find that fun. Okay, phone lines are open, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038 if you have a guess as to who the groundhog is. And again, this whole hullabaloo tomorrow kicks off at 8:15 a.m., and we all look forward to that tomorrow. And thank goodness it doesn't look like we're going to get rained on. I think that's probably the most important thing that we worried about. Snow you can deal with. Rain you really don't want to deal with. Okay, well, what else is there to talk about this morning? Well, you know, this whole Super Bowl controversy, blah, 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 with Travis Kelce and Taylor Swift. We've talked about it for days here. But interestingly enough, apparently, I think he's with Fox Sports. Let me make sure I get this right here. Fox Sports. I believe his name's Colin Cowherd. C-O-W-H-E-R-D. Colin Cowherd apparently went bananas yesterday about this. A four-minute rant on his Fox Sports radio show, The Herd. Now, this is what he said. This is what this man said on Fox News about this whole Taylor Swift thing. He said, "There's a lot of really weird, lonely, insecure men out there," Cowherd said. "The fact that a pop star, the world's biggest pop star, is dating a star tight end who had one of the greatest games ever and a network puts them on the air briefly, that bothers you? What does it say about your life?" Now hold on, let's scroll down here a little bit. "But a talented and beautiful woman is on the air? One who would never pay attention to lonely men and it bothers them," he said. "There's a stat out there. It's kind of uncomfortable for you sad guys that 50% of men that have real intimacy with women, that means the other 50% have multiple intimate relationships with women, and those ones that don't are angry and sad and lonely, and they are often misogynistic and resent women who didn't give them the time they think they deserve. Again, judge people by the silly things that bother them. This anger says nothing about Taylor Swift. It says everything about the men bothered by it. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott, real quick, I got two questions.
Yes.
Number one, would you be willing to tell us if the correct guess has been guessed?
Normally I would, but I feel if I do that at this point, everybody is going to, if it's not been done, they're going to, I don't know what if they would try to call in and guess again. I don't know what would happen.
Well, okay, fair enough. And I just want to say, whoever guessed Bob Dunley, that was a really good guess too. And then my other question is, I'm not going to take a vacation day for this, but if I can skadoodly-wee-bop over there in the bus, will you bring me out a snack or something if I blow the horn and flag you down?
Well, I don't know if I'll be able to run it over, but one of us should be able to.
What are you going to... I got to make sure this is worth my while. What's on the menu?
Well, I don't know. There's a whole box of things that were sent over. All kinds of stuff.
So maybe not a double cheeseburger, but like maybe not just like a, you know... We're trying a granola bar, or...
There are several different things in there. I mean, there are some bars of things, but there are some other things in there as well.
So if I just go over there and lay on the horn, somebody can run me out of snack?
Why? I think we'll see the bus. I don't know if you have to lay on the horn during the broadcast tomorrow. We'll probably see the bus.
You'd be surprised the number of people that don't see this 10-foot-tall white bus.
Well, I think it'd be interesting as you drive on through there. You could see everything that's been going on.
Yeah, I can do like a meet and greet real quick with get a hug from the groundhog.
I'll tell you what, the groundhog—it's a person who's been on national television.
Oh, this is so exciting!
You can't go wrong there, can you?
No, not likely. Well, happy Groundhog Eve.
Hey, thank you. All right, 740-751-4038. Okay, well, I just read that whole rant there by... let's take the call here, and we'll come back to this. All right, go ahead, caller.
Where are you, Scott?
What's that?
Where are you?
I'm here.
No, I'm over at your office, and you're not here.
Oh, no, I'm remote today.
Forgot.
I'm remote, yes, remote today.
Well, I left it on your desk, the envelope for Christmas and the Harding issue.
Oh, okay, thank you.
But, I just walked in and left it. And I thought, well, today he's not here because I had to go to the post office because my mailbox out there got off the stand, had to go pick up my mail, and I thought, well, instead of sending it, I'll just run it over to him.
Yeah, no. Last Thursday I was there, but this Thursday I'm not. But I'll definitely be there tomorrow.
Yeah, well, I forgot, so I'm headed back to the house now. So I thought, darn it, today is, he's not here. So, okay.
Well, hey, thanks for leaving it there.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye. Now, see, how many shows have that going on? We've got listeners in the studio and the host not in the studio. So how about that? Okay. 740-751-4038. Phone lines are open here, 27 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. Now, I have no idea what this man is talking about in this rant. Does anybody understand it? That apparently you're a pathetic person. Here's a couple of things I don't understand about this rant that this guy went on yesterday. Number one, what was the point? And number two... many women have also been talking about this across the country. It's not like it's a hidden thing. And apparently there are even Instagram things and all this. So why is he only attacking men here? Why isn't he attacking women? And number two, I don't understand what his stats are here. I don't think this has anything to do about being insecure. It's Taylor Swift. It's a news story. He says at one point, he says, there's a stat out there. It's kind of uncomfortable for you guys that 50% of men never have real intimacy with a woman. that means the other 50% have multiple intimate relationships with women. So apparently it's nothing or multiple, apparently. And then he goes on to say, and those ones that don't are angry and sad and lonely and often misogynistic and resent women who don't give them the time they think they deserve. This guy just seems a little angry. I don't quite understand what in the world. Now, I'd like to tune in this guy's show because I'm sure he's talking about something every day. And maybe I feel that's a little low level or whatever. I don't get why he got so angry about this. Is he friends with these people? But his sum up line is, again, judge people by the silly things that bother them. This anger says nothing about Taylor Swift. It says everything about the men bothered by it. But again, is it just men bothered by it? As we have went on and talked about the last few days, Fox News seems to be covering this pretty good. And I've seen a lot of women talking about it on many talk shows and news broadcasts. So what is this guy even talking about? Men are jealous of Taylor Swift or this relationship? I don't even think he mentions the football player, by the way, in the show or in this rant. Maybe he does. I don't know. But, you know, people should not really be getting this upset about people talking about a news story. So I think this guy wants her as a guest on his show. And you know what? Maybe this is his way of doing it, is going after people. But that's okay. You know, that's how people do their thing. And again, this has nothing to do with their relationship. Who cares? Let them do whatever they want. I just think it's fascinating that this team is in the Super Bowl. I think that that is just very ironic that the year that this is all going on, all this news is going on, that that team would happen to make it to the Super Bowl. That's all. Now, some people feel she's going to make political endorsements. I don't know. I heard a rumor last night that she's going to be part of the halftime show. I don't know. We've all heard the rumor that he's going to propose with his Super Bowl ring, which apparently he hasn't even won this year. Or maybe it's an old Super Bowl ring. I don't know. Haven't heard that. Don't know. You know, if they lose the game and he proposes, isn't that really stealing the other team's thunder? Isn't that really kind of a low thing to do? And I keep asking this question. I think Taylor Swift is very smart. I think very good business person. Obviously knows how to market herself. Obviously has done very, 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 very well. My question is what is her appeal that other people don't have? That's what I'm curious about. What is that appeal? Anyway, does anybody have anything to say about this guy's four-minute rant? Colin Coward from Fox Sports, 740-751-4038. I think on the whole, to be honest with you, most people probably don't care anything about this, but it's a news story. It's like everything else. It's like PETA and the groundhog. Go ahead, caller.
Scott, I don't have a top 10 list today, but I do have 10 guesses for who the groundhog is.
Oh, 10 guesses as to who the groundhog is going to be. All right.
And at the end, I want you to tell me what they all have in common.
Okay.
All right. First guess, Shecky Green.
Oh, see, I don't like this already. I have a bad feeling. Shecky Green.
Second guess, Pat Carroll.
I see a pattern.
Jackie Mason. Fourth guess, Ed Asner. Fifth guess, Gallagher. Sixth guess, Charlotte Ray. Seventh guess, Bob Barker. Eighth guess, Hugh Downs. And then Pat Cooper and Dick Gregory.
Well, I know what the theme running through all these people is. They've all been on my show.
They've all been on your show.
Yes.
That's right.
What else would they have in common?
I don't know. Am I right? Is one of them going to be the groundhog?
Well, you know, I have heard, I mean, we're located very close to cemeteries. So there is a chance that somebody, you know, Warren Harding got up out of his grave and walked over to the studio one day, so why not one of these people?
That's right. I do have a serious guess, though.
Okay, go ahead.
Larry Merchant?
Oh, you know, Larry Merchant, that's a good guess. You know, we've got a lot of guesses here, and does the fact that this person has been on national television add to the intrigue of this?
I think it does.
Now,
so they're well known.
You know, I'll tell you, it's hard. If I say when the head comes off tomorrow, when I say it, you will know. But you will know in a unique way. And I know this all sounds very vague and confusing right now, but it won't tomorrow when it happens.
Okay.
Yeah. Right. It's just one of those things that it's kind of hard to explain directly. And I have never interviewed this person, but
And it's not Larry Merchant then.
No, it's not. Oh, that's right. It's not Larry Merchant, right? Because he's been on the show. But no, I have not interviewed this person. Well, you know, in a way, though, I have. It's strange.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now, out of all those 10 folks that I rattled off there, which one was the most interesting or enjoyable interview?
Well, I don't know. You named 10 pretty good ones there.
Yeah.
Did
you have a favorite guest, even if the interview was, I don't know, maybe not as substantive or, you know, heavy-hitting? Was there a favorite guest that's no longer amongst us that you really enjoyed having on there?
Well, I'll tell you, there were some there that were regulars that I liked because they were regulars. Like, obviously, Checky Green, you could call him anytime and get a good show. Pat Carroll, you could call her anytime and get a good show. Dick Gregory, the same thing. So those were all very good. The other ones, I liked things that they said, and I found them all to be pleasant. Charlotte Ray was very pleasant. Gallagher obviously came to Marion. Ed Asner was on a ton of times. He came to Marion. So, you know, I think for their own little reasons, all of them are good memories.
Now, is there out of anybody that is now passed on to the other side that you will no longer be interviewing, is there anybody that you really wish you could get on one more time?
Who I interviewed who's already dead?
Yes.
Oh, you know what? I'd be interested. I think it'd be fascinating right now to hear what Ed Asner or Dick Gregory had to say about what's going on in the country, because they had very strong opinions on current events.
Okay, yeah.
So I'd be interested to see what they had to say. But did you see this whole groundhog thing on the Today Show this morning?
I did not.
And apparently only one person saw it, the person who sent me the screenshot, I think. But isn't it interesting that every little area has their own groundhog? I'm kind of shocked that here Buckeye Chuck is up there, which is great, but there are three others up there as well, and I haven't heard anything about those three others.
Where were they?
Well, let me get this real quick here, the screenshot back up. But the ones that were I don't even know if they were mentioned, because like I say, I didn't see this. I just have the screenshot here. It's Al Roker standing in front of a map, and basically he's telling what the weather conditions are going to be like. But it's Holtzville Hal in Holtzville, New York. It's Woodstock Willie in Woodstock, Illinois, and it's Unadilla Billy in Nebraska, and then Buckeye Chuck in Ohio.
Okay, all right. Well, I mean, we were 50 states of, you know, separate peoples joined by, you know, one union, so I guess it would make sense to have multiple groundhogs.
Well, I just wonder, is it a perspective thing? Because, I mean, we're in Marion, Ohio, where this all happens. So is that a big thing to us? But I guess if you're in Woodstock, Illinois, is that a big thing to you?
I'd say it's probably about the same, you know, on the regional basis. But I think if the country has a national groundhog, it's Punxsutawney Phil for sure. You know, they kind of started it, and it's in Pennsylvania, which is where the folklore and the superstition of the groundhog originated. So, hands down, it's Punxsutawney Phil.
Well, and I also think that the movie certainly helped that along.
Oh, yeah. No, definitely. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now, what do you feel about this? Do you know this Fox Sports guy, Colin Coward?
I don't follow him or anything. I know of him.
Well, what was this rant he went on yesterday? What was this whole whoop-de-doo?
What was it about? Was it about Taylor Swift?
Yeah. Did you hear it?
No, I didn't.
I'll give you a couple of the paragraphs here. I find this very odd. And it was apparently yesterday or the day before he went on this. And here's essentially what it is. He said, there's a lot of really weird, lonely, insecure men out there, Coward said. The fact that a pop star, the world's biggest pop star, is dating a star tight end who had one of his greatest games ever, and a network puts them on the air briefly and that bothers you, what does that say about your life? And then he goes on later in the conversation to get even weirder, and he says, but a talented and a beautiful woman is on the air, one who would never pay attention to lonely men and it bothers them, he said. That there's a stat out there, it's kind of uncomfortable for you sad guys, that 50% of men never have real intimacy with a woman. That means the other 50% have multiple intimate relationships with women, and those and the ones that don't are angry and sad and lonely, and they are often misogynistic and resent women who didn't give them the time they think they deserve. Again, judge people by the silly things that bother them. This anger says nothing about Taylor Swift. It says everything about the men bothered by it.
Well, it sounds like, by his own admission, he's attacking 50% of his potential viewer base for his show. So, probably not very smart.
Well, I just don't understand even what this rant is about. And I don't understand his stats here. Apparently, you've never had an intimate relationship with a woman. Or apparently, you've had multiple.
Well, they're trying to characterize anybody that criticizes the over-the-top propaganda surrounding the Taylor Swift and Travis Kelce relationship as being, you know, basement dwellers who are antisocial and living in their mother's, you know, basement and never had a relationship and, you know, kind of trying to say that they're weirdos. So, I mean, I don't think that, again, that's smart. I know on my social media, most of the people who are kind of ranting about being fed up with how much they're pushing it, that relationship, are women.
So, well, that's he trashes men in this article completely over and over and over, and I can't find one moment in this 4-minute rant where he ever mentions a woman. As if a woman talk show host or a woman radio host or a woman news broadcaster has never mentioned this.
Well, you can't attack women, Scott. You know that. You can attack men. You can't attack women. Otherwise, they'll come out and say that you're misogynist or, you know, anti-woman.
Is this not a news story? I mean, I'm confused on why he would find it odd that anybody would be talking about this, and you have to be awful. I mean, we talk about the war in Israel and Palestine, and we certainly talk about trivial things. We talk about trivial things in politics all the time. We talk about, silly things. Groundhogs, my God. That was national news last week. Should we use a real groundhog on Groundhog Day? Now, he's okay with all of this, but Taylor Swift, woo. Boy, you've really got problems if you're talking about her.
Is he on ESPN?
I think Fox Sports, it says.
Fox Sports, okay. Well, again, it doesn't really matter. I mean, as we've mentioned, pretty much five or six companies corporations own like 90% of the media in this country. So, you know, he probably was encouraged to, you know, bring that topic up, and since it's in the spotlight, and they're definitely pushing that story, and so it doesn't surprise me. But I don't think it's smart to attack people on that. And anyway, sports, like, why does sports have to be so political? Why can't they just go out and entertain and have their little athletic competition? Why do they have to try to politicize everything, you know?
I'm totally confused on what set this man off. I would like to know what put him over the edge to do 4 minutes on this. I don't understand it. And why is nobody able to be critiqued? I mean, if you're in the public eye, why aren't you able to be critiqued? Can nobody have an opinion anymore? I mean, what is going on?
Well, it's that cancel culture. And you have to be on the right side of the opinion spectrum. Otherwise, you are shouted down. And sometimes your career is destroyed. So that's not healthy for a allegedly free country to have that type of environment. But it's very much the environment that we find ourselves in.
Well, you know, it's interesting. People who say that the news is conservative or the news is liberal, I've never found that to be the case. I think the news is financial. If people want to talk about it and people will watch it, that's what people are going to talk about and watch.
You think so?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, honestly, you think that it comes down to that? I mean, I think that people do get, if it's too much, if they push an unpopular narrative too much, I mean, they may face some type of backlash, kind of the Bud Light situation. That we had over the past year. But for the most part, the narrative is pushed forward somewhat slowly over time. And I think that's the best way to, you know, change opinions. If they came out with some radical, you know, position and tried to jam it down people's throats, you know, they may reject it. But if they give you a little trickle, you know, here and there, and then just increase the flow, you know, you're going to be more successful.
Well, if any station is doing something and they are gradually seeing their numbers go down and they are gradually seeing their sponsors go away, they will change it. And that's what I always say about, okay, if you don't like Fox News, or you don't like MSNBC because you believe Fox News is to the right and you believe MSNBC is to the left, well, you got to talk to the people who watch those channels, and you got to talk to the people who are advertising on those channels, because I guarantee you, if nobody was watching and nobody was advertising, they wouldn't be there very long.
Well, some of these stations are having that happen. You know, their viewership is pretty meager, but yet they still persist, you know, again, because they're parent companies or these mega corporations that have access to unlimited capital. But I wanted to ask you, too, have you been following kind of the downfall of a lot of these newspapers and magazines here this past year, all the layoffs among journalists?
Well, our own Marianne Starr, it's still being printed, but there's not a local reporter around.
Yeah. But I know there's been multiple articles about, you know, some major publications, like I think Washington Post and Newsweek, and, you know, go across the country, and just massive, massive layoffs this year. So, I mean, that's a big hit to, you know, any type of journalism, and I don't know what that means for the future.
Well, I don't know. I think eventually there's got to be people out there who can see the middle somewhere. I don't think everything has to be opinionated, but I really you know, we've come to a very sensitive place in society where people cannot take criticism. And it's funny because I recently read this story, and a lot of people have seen this now, where Elmo from Sesame Street put out a tweet just asking how everybody was, and the response was so negative, I'm in despair, I'm full of anxiety, I'm depressed, that Sesame Street had to put out resources for people to get help.
Well, are you surprised by that, Scott?
No, I'm not, because I believe most people are miserable and in despair. I just think they hide it very well.
Yeah. I mean, I can't... I understand it. We live in a unnatural existence. Most of us do. And anything unnatural is typically not conducive to good emotional and mental health, physical health too. I mean, if you look at the, I like 50s music, you know, and you probably know the Rock and Roll Hall of Famer Fats Domino.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, Fats Domino, they called him the Fat Man, and you look at him back in the 50s, and you're like, he's like the average American today. But that was such a spectacle and such a unique, you know, physical body type. You know, his build, which wasn't morbidly obese or anything, but you know, look at pictures from that era. You know, everybody's, you know, pretty well either thin or medium build. You didn't see a whole lot of you know, morbidly obese people. But by God, if you walk the streets of America today, you know, that's the normal. And I've got a few extra pounds for sure. But what's changed?
Well, you know what's...
People ask those questions?
I'll tell you what's changed. There's somebody who I see on a fairly regular basis, a pretty regular basis. And I know darn well that this person is not happy. You can just tell. I mean, it's not hard to tell. People think they put on these great big facades and nobody can guess that they're unhappy. It's easy to see this person is, I'm not saying their life is in the toilet, but they clearly are not a happy person. It just shows. But if I ask, and I've learned to not ask anymore, I mean, I'll, you know, how's your day? I'll do that. But I don't ask if everything's okay, how are you, none of that, because I realize they're never going to talk about it, because I think it's a sign of weakness to them to talk about it. And I also think they probably think I can't solve it. And I probably couldn't. I don't know what I could solve. But so they're just internally angry and internally frustrated with something. And I don't even know what it is. So they just walk around in a, I think, anxious despair all the time. And it's unfortunate because you see that day in, day out, day in, day out. And nothing ever changes. You know, same thing.
Are they obese too?
No.
Yeah. I don't know. It's a strange world. Strange time to live.
Well, it is, and it's also very interesting to me that a lot of people, it's a total facade with a lot of people. Total. Where, you know, I'm happy, blah, 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 blah. But you know they're racked with anxiety. You know they're racked with depression. Nobody changes overnight. And, you know, I don't know how... I don't know why anybody would want to live like that on a continual basis. I think that would be very exhausting.
Do you think they do it by choice?
Well, I think ultimately, yeah, it is choice, because whatever's going on, they're not talking about, and they certainly aren't making any strides to change it. This is the whole thing about the placebo effect. The placebo effect clearly happens when something new happens in somebody's life, so it gets their mind off of what's really going on, what your problems really are. And I think people are always looking for the placebo to get their mind off what their problems really are.
Because it's easy?
I think that's much easier. Yeah. I mean, I think that it's much easier to get into a new relationship. I think it's much easier to buy yourself a new car. I think it's much easier to go out and buy some new clothes. I think it's much easier to do some adjustments to your house. I think it does make you happy for a little bit, but it's not long term. And I think that's where herein lies the problem.
So is it a spiritual deficit or personality deficit?
No, because I think a lot of them do turn to spirituality. I think they even turn to that to try to raise their emotions. But I think it's I think there's something wrong in their head. And until they get that fixed, they're never going to really get it.
How do they get it fixed, you think? Most effective?
Well, first of all, I think they have to recognize that they've got a problem, which a lot of times is very hard to do. And then I think they have to recognize that all these things going on in their life that are not fixing the problem, they need to push to the side and then work on them. People don't spend any time working on themselves. They really need to do that. You can't turn to something or somebody else to fix your problem. You've got to fix it on your own, and that takes work and time. And nobody's got work and time.
What percentage of the population do you think is introspective?
I don't want to say everybody's miserable. So I think you're saying people who are actually introspective about their life?
Yeah, that can at least reflect. They may not be living the way they should be, but they're able to recognize that. And they have a desire to analyze their life and to improve their condition and their standing.
I think that's a small group, because I think it's much easier to do the other stuff.
I agree. I think that's probably one of the most lacking things, is any sense of self and introspection. And I don't think that our society encourages that. They encourage the placebos, as you say, and it encourages just the quick fix and distractions. Our society encourages distractions. Because if people were introspective and they were trying to improve, reflect on themselves and improve their lives, then once they do that, they may move on to pressing issues in society and say, hey, this needs to change too, and this needs fixed too. So I've fixed myself, so now I'm going to fix my community. And I don't think that the people in power want that, because it's a challenge to the status quo.
Well, like on the whole, I really don't understand why people get angry with other people when this is pointed out to them. I guess it's probably because they don't want to fix the problem.
No, like I said, and they're not encouraged to do so. So even, it takes a very strong person to be able to fight not only themselves, but to fight society.
And then there's Groundhog Day tomorrow.
And then there's Groundhog Day.
Well, hey, thanks for calling in, and tune in tomorrow morning.
All right. Have fun at your event.
All right. Well, the big event comes up tomorrow, and we've got a lot of fun. Tomorrow morning at 8:15. Mary Ellen Withrow will be there. The Groundhog will be there. The Peanut Butter Jelly Truck, Pastor Craig, Carrington, Matt, Sean, myself, Linda, Chad Clark will be there. A county official will be there with a proclamation. It's going to be fun. And I look forward to that. Now, the first hour will be outside tomorrow from 8:15 until 9 a.m., and then we'll move inside for the rest of the day, and it's going to be a great day to be sure. 2 minutes left in the broadcast. Do you have any more guesses as to who the groundhog might be? And we will have some snacks out there for you tomorrow if you do show up. 740-751-4038, and we've had a lot of guesses here today, and we've had a lot of guesses over this whole groundhog event. We've had Phil Donahue and Larry Merchant and Bob Nunley and Ted Williams and Bozo the Clown and Carrington and Madden, Opal Covey and Taylor Swift. A lot of people have been guests here. Does anybody want to put in a final guess before the big event tomorrow? 58 minutes past the hour. 740-751-4038. But do remember, we will only be outside for the first hour, 8:15 until 9 o'clock. Then we will move the event inside so you can listen better at home. It should be fine the first hour, but just a little better listening quality from 9:15 on. And it'll be fun to interview the person who's the groundhog, and you can learn how that all came to be. And also learn about their experiences in the world, which are pretty vast at this particular point. Well, I hope you enjoy this great day. Hey, it's the first day of February, 36 degrees and sunny at this point, not bad. Hopefully some of that will rub off on us tomorrow. Also, don't forget the big Buckeye Chuck event goes on tomorrow, 7 to 8 a.m. At WMRN. That's a tradition. Start there. And then you can move on down to our event at 685 Delaware Avenue at 8:15. Voice of a People with Linda Sims comes up next, 10:15 to noon, and Adam the Computer Guy, 12 to 1. For this day, Scott Spears heading for the dugout.
You're listening to The Talking Place from Charlie Evers.
You know, you could come in handy, too, with that electricity if we have problems with our transmitter, which is above you. Yeah. All you'd have to do is raise your hands and energize our transmitter.
To formerly of WNCI, Weasel Boy, is that true? I've never asked that question on air before, by the way, but...